Hi, and welcome to Vet Tech Talk. I'm Dave Blanks, and I work here at App State and University Communications. On this episode, we're joined by Leah Wright. Leah started her veterinary technology career in the Appalachian Mountains of eastern Kentucky. Her career has taken her across multiple states while working in diagnostic laboratories, veterinary schools, and veterinary technology schools. She's a credentialed technician in Texas and was awarded the Licensed Veterinary Technician of the Year Award from the Texas Veterinary Medical Association in 2021. Leah worked as the clinical coordinator for a veterinary technology program in Texas prior to joining us here at App State. Wright has earned a Teaching Excellence Award as well from the National Institute for Staff and Organizational Development. She works with the Texas Airedale Rescue Team and has two Airedale Terrier mixes of her own, along with two cats that she rescued while in veterinary technology school. Now, here's my conversation with Leah Wright. Leah.
Yes.
Do you want to do a podcast with me?
Yes, please.
Let's do this thing. Leah Wright, you are the clinical coordinator for the veterinary technology program. And where do you live?
I live in Texas right now, I'm from eastern Kentucky.
Okay.
We can't be mistaken for a Texan.
Well, it's a different accent, right?
It is.
But Texans have an accent as well.
They do. They get a little confused with mine because they're like, you ain't from around here.
Oh, really?
But you kind of sound like you might be. So what's going on?
All right. So you're the clinical coordinator. So that means you're in charge of what? What is your gig here at Appalachian?
My job as clinical coordinator is I will match all of our vet tech students with the clinical site where there is a credentialed technician or a DVM, so a veterinarian, that will help them to obtain those hands-on psychomotor skills.
Psychomotor.
Yeah. Fancy,
whoa,
right?
That sounds cool.
So they get those skills. They learn how to do them at a clinical facility during their clinical externship.
Right.
And that way these students, yes, it is an online program. So they get those, you know, they get the didactic knowledge. They get it in class. It's online. We're still a community. We're still a team.
Yeah.
But then I also help to provide them with teams in the field. So they get to make those connections, make those interactions, and my happy place is matching students to these clinical sites.
Nice.
So we match their personalities and everything.
I got you. Wow. Okay, cool. Well, that sounds very comprehensive. Can you tell me how you came into veterinary technology, veterinary medicine? What was your journey that led you to that?
Yes.
Did you always love animals?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I missed my last day of eighth grade to help my dog give birth.
Oh.
So it's always been in my mind. I grew up not knowing what a veterinary technician was. I grew up in eastern Kentucky. I'm from Pike County, Kentucky, deep in the mountains. And I did not know what a vet tech was. I know what a veterinarian.
Welcome back to the mountains.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so happy to be back in these mountains.
I bet. Yeah.
Just wake up and smell that air. I'm like, look at that fog.
Doesn't it smell different?
It is.
Golly.
It does.
Yeah. Okay. But, all right. So you grew up there.
Yes. And so I went to college thinking, all right, I'm going to be a veterinarian.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to play with animals.
Right. Yeah, sure.
But that didn't really fit right. It didn't fit with my soul of exactly what I wanted. I wanted more of the hands-on. I don't have to take OCHEM. My gosh, please don't.
What is that?
Organic chemistry.
Oh, I should know what that is, being a part of higher education.
It's hard.
Rough stuff.
Yeah, I didn't want that. I wanted to go play with puppies and kitties. But it piqued my interest. The school I went to had a on-campus vet tech program, and I ended up switching majors. So that's how I ended up in vet tech.
How different was it when you switched the major? Was it like, oh my God, what am I doing? Or was it like, this is it?
It was this is it.
Because what a good feeling.
The difference between, because I've also worked for a vet school.
Okay.
The difference between vet tech and pre-vet in undergrad is, in a lot of the vet tech programs, you're going to get to touch animals while you're in undergrad.
Right. That's what you wanted.
Yeah. Vet school, you ain't touching an animal until you get to vet school.
Touching books.
Yeah.
Touching the mouse on your computer.
It was excessive.
Yeah.
So, you know, I switched.
Important, necessary to have veterinarians.
It is. Yeah. It is. And I loved working with my, because I worked with vet students. So, I loved that. Loved working with them. But my passion kind of lays with working with these vet tech students.
I got you.
They just get it.
Okay. So where were you most recently before you came into this position?
I was the clinical coordinator for a brick and mortar campus in Texas.
How did you find out about this job? How'd you get here?
So I'm part of the Association of Vet Tech Educators.
Okay.
We are very lucky in our team that Jen Serling is actually the president of it.
Oh.
I know. I felt like I was meeting a celebrity.
Wow.
And she's amazing.
Yeah, she's awesome. We have had her on the podcast
good.
As well. Yeah, Jen's a hoot. Yeah.
She's amazing.
She's cool.
I was already part of AVTE, and she posted it on the Facebook group.
Okay.
And I was like, well, I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
So
you did it.
The fact that it was for App State,
mm-hmm.
within the Appalachian Mountains, I'd been feeling that urge to give back to my community. That's what made me apply. I was like, I love clinical coordinating. It's a happy place.
Mm-hmm.
They're allowing me to teach anatomy, which is another happy place.
Cool.
And it's my mountains.
Good.
So.
Well, we're glad you're connected to the mountains once again, even if you are in Texas.
I know. It's so flat.
I'm not saying Texas is bad.
It ain't bad. It's just
good experiences
different.
There. It's different. You know, it's different.
I forgot what the color green was like.
Yeah,
and
no.
I come back here and I'm like, oh, yeah,
oh,
green.
Yeah.
It's not a cactus. Perfect.
Tell me about experiences, the externships that these students are going to have, and tell me how in the world are you developing this network of locations where you know them well enough to know that a student will match with them. How are you doing that?
Yeah. Most of the places that we'll have will be general practice. Most of it will be companion animals, so small animal, cats, dogs.
Okay.
I'm hoping to get a lot more large animal,
mm-hmm.
and some exotic clinics.
Oh, I didn't know there were clinics that were specifically for exotic.
Yes.
Oh.
A lot of them do mixed, but
right.
I'm hoping. I have a couple that I've already gotten in contact with.
Okay. And these locations are not just North Carolina,
no,
although primarily starting out, that is more of the students that we're getting. Therefore, those are more of the relationships that you're building with these places in North Carolina. But
yes.
You said other states as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm working with a couple of vet schools so we can have students even like in teaching hospitals there, because what's better than teaching vet tech students alongside of the veterinarians that they will be, the veterinary students, that they'll be working as a team when they get out anyway.
Right.
So we can teach them how to work as a team while they're still in school.
Cool.
They can learn together.
Right.
I love it. So there'll be a couple of those sites. There's a couple of diagnostic labs that I'm going to reach out to. Maybe some zoos. My goal is to make a connection anywhere that a student is interested.
Right.
Because this field has endless possibilities.
Right.
Like, it's taken me all over the U.S.
Yeah.
And I want my students to have those opportunities. And I try to make it a little bit personable. So whenever I talk to clinics, I actually keep notes of their pets, how they interact as a team. We're going to have, luckily we have Miss Rebecca Newman, who's going to help us with creating some like well-being content. So that'll be really helpful. We're going to have like a packet that goes with the clinics. We're going to help. I'm going to try and be as interactive as possible. That way I can match those personalities.
Yeah.
Because obviously an extremely shy student isn't going to thrive at a vet school in those teaching hospitals where it's a lot more, like it's busy, it's high energy.
Way more people.
Go, go, go. Yeah.
Yeah. So what if a student, because they have to do their clinicals, what if they're bringing you a location? They're saying, here's where I want to do it. I mean, are you like, yeah, whatever. Okay, that's fine. I mean, cool. Good. I'm glad you got a place.
There is a process.
Ah, okay.
But I do highly encourage that. If they have a place and they're like, I'm really interested in this clinic,
maybe
I want to work,
there. Maybe they already work there. Right.
I love it.
Yeah.
All right. Here's my process, guys. We're going to start early. I highly encourage the students to schedule meetings with me whenever they, well, not whenever. I have a very set time. But, because I'm going to watch my own well-being as
well. Sure, you got to do it.
But, like, I have it set up so they can schedule meetings with me. We talk about that. I've already had some students who aren't going to be in clinicals for another year.
Oh, wow.
Already
like, talking to you?
Yeah, already asking about sites. I'm like, awesome. Let's get started.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to get the paperwork. I've got a process ready to roll.
Leah, one thing we didn't talk about was your crazy forensic animal history, because we mentioned it before. Is that what you would even call it? Is that something you want to talk about on the podcast or no?
No, we definitely can.
Okay, all right. Okay, cool. Yeah.
So
you
really
did the clinical coordination thing.
Well,
but before that.
Before the clinical coordination, I started out after graduating vet tech school.
Yeah.
I didn't like general practice.
Okay.
All of my classmates were going and working in general practice. And I was like, I don't like it.
But you still get to play with the animals. What was it you didn't like about it?
it wasn't for me. It wasn't exciting. Fulfilling something.
Okay.
And I actually toured of University of Kentucky's mm-hmm. Veterinary Diagnostic Lab, and they showed me the necropsy suite.
Necropsy.
Yes. Okay. So necropsy is an autopsy on an animal.
Right.
And because autopsy's only on humans.
Okay.
And they showed me the necropsy suite, and I was like, geez, oh, Pete, this is it.
Yeah.
And I actually got a job there and performed necropsies on animals.
What were you trying to figure out?
We would figure out why they died. So, like, if it was, like, a herd animal, that way you know, herd safety.
Like wasting disease or mm-hmm. something that whitetail might get.
We actually had a couple of deer come in.
Right.
We do a lot of cattle, a lot of horses, lots of cats and dogs, figuring out why they died.
Okay.
It might be a closure for the client, or it might be the veterinarian is stumped and just curiosity.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
So, really fun.
Cool. How long did you do that?
At the University of Kentucky, about a year. And then I moved to South Carolina. This is what this degree does for you.
Yeah, you moved into many locations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I moved to South Carolina. It was the first female necropsy tech they'd ever had in the state, and worked for Clemson Diagnostic Lab. And then I got a call from a vet school, Lincoln Memorial University, went up to Tennessee, moved there, worked in their anatomy lab. And then I ended up in Texas.
Dang.
So it can take you all over.
Yeah, really. Well, that's very interesting. I thought we had to share the necropsy background because, yeah, it's just unusual. I mean, I was totally unfamiliar with it.
It's okay. I actually had a student. This is our first semester of the program.
Right.
I've already had
one
student.
We're in it right now.
Yeah, yeah. We just started
it. Yeah, now, yeah.
And one of the students, after scheduling a meeting with me, we were talking, and they're interested in necropsy.
Were you
and
like,
I was like,
yay. She had a tear.
I was like, do you want to see all the bones around my house? Like, I have a squirrel in a jar. What do you want? I will show you. Like, it was so good to hear that.
Oh, well, I'm glad you're inspiring people with all kinds of aspirations, and you're supporting people from all walks of life. The program's going to reach not only in North Carolina, but nationwide, could be worldwide, so you could be dealing with people
in different
countries. Yeah. Is there anything else you want to cover before we get into the animals that mean the most to you in your life? That's what we're going to end on.
Oh, that'll be a good one.
Yeah. Not the squirrel in the jar. I don't know. That one might be, but
it's not. It's just a random squirrel in a jar. I don't
Fair
know.
Enough.
It's just my life. I want to reiterate, like, I'm so happy to be a part of this, not just this program that has the importance of well-being, the amazing team they've put together, but it's also helping a community that means everything to me. Like, I was raised by these mountains. It's my way of giving back. And I love furthering the veterinary field and also just having the little dash of, these are my mountains.
Yeah, so I like that too.
It has been extremely rewarding already, and we are not even halfway through the first semester. So it's going to be good.
The animals in your life. We talk often about the human-animal bond and that connection and how powerful it is between people. So do you have animals that you are connected with right now?
Yes.
Tell me about these animals.
So first I want to start with a dog who has passed. He moved everywhere with me. I worked for free an entire summer to get this dog. Yeah, I know. I fell in love. I live in a small town.
Yeah.
And he was an Airedale Terrier.
What, an Airedale?
Airedale Terrier.
Okay, all
the
right.
The king of the Terrier.
I've seen this dog. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're regal.
He was amazing. He went through vet tech school with me. He actually had heartworm disease, and we treated it in my vet tech program.
Oh, wow.
So, like, he was a part of my education.
Right.
And he traveled to all these places I say I've been. He was right there.
What was his name?
Scruff.
Scruff.
Yes, he's now tattooed on my leg.
Oh. All right. Never forget Scruff.
No, so we keep him. But he started my passion for Airedale Terriers.
Right.
And I'm all about, adopting, rescuing, all of that. So I have two Airedale mixes. One of them came from the mountains of Tennessee. Her name is Sophie Jean. She's an Airedale Lab Cross.
Okay.
She is my little shadow, and I love her.
Cool.
And then we have my wild child, Sam, who is an Airedale mix that came from the streets of Lufkin, Texas.
All right.
He's a hot mess.
Yeah, all right. He's off on his own. Is he a little more independent?
No.
No, he's not?
No.
He's just crazy?
has to be right behind me. Oh, so okay. Working remote, my office is also my guest room.
Yep.
I have my desk set up and there's a bed behind me, and it might as well be his bed because in every single meeting that I take, he's laid on that bed behind me. He's got about 10 toys up there. He brings a new one every day. He has to be in the same room. And we just tell him, I'm like, all right, let's go to work. And he runs and gets on that bed.
Aw.
So.
Well, it sounds like you have a good support system, speaking of well-being at your house. It makes me want to learn more about Airedale Terriers. Why the Airedale?
Because of scruff.
The scruff? Because
they're scruffy. You know, I really liked the nub, the no-tail thing, but that is docked.
Right.
My two mixes are not docked. Right. They got full tails, so they knock everything off the counter.
Yeah, sure.
But the fact that they're so stubborn.
Yeah.
But also so playful. So.
Well, Leah, thank you for your time. I really appreciate you being here. And if people want to contact you, the Vet Tech website is vettech.appstate.edu. And your email address is on here, but tell me what it is.
WRIGHTLD1@appstate.edu.
Right, LD. One. Leah, thanks so much. I really appreciate you.
Thank you. This was so much fun.
Good. I'm glad. It's good. I'm glad you got to come back to the mountains in person for this.
Yes. I have loved it.
If you love animals, a degree in veterinary technology may be just what you need in your life. Put your love for animals to work for you. No matter your busy schedule, you'll learn to capably assist veterinarians and prepare for certification exams to take advantage of a flourishing job market and ensure that pets get the care they need. You can find out more by going online to the VetTech website. That's vettech.appstate.edu. VetTech Talk is a production of University Communications here at Appalachian State. Check out more of our podcast by going online to podcasts.appstate.edu. I'm Dave Blanks. Thanks so much for listening to Vet Tech Talk, and have a great day.